We're going to dive into that a little bit this morning and talk. Let me just share with you, if you feed it, it will grow. How many of you find this to be true in your life? Amen. Oh man, let me share an example. I'm going to bear my heart with you. I was threatened with my life to take care of this morning. It's been a while ago, I don't know, a few months, maybe a year ago or so, my wife went to this class for sourdough. Have you guys heard about sourdough? I knew it was a thing. I didn't know how great it was going to be and how much it would take over our lives. But here we are, right? Amen. She came home from this class of sourdough and she had like 6 booklets full of information. All sorts of wonderful things that we got to do now. This is a piece of what we call Reba. We had to name her. She's shy. She brought it home and she's telling me all these things and we have to feed it at certain times and it eats flour. And so you have to get flour, but it's not just like your regular flour that you already have. You have to go get special flour. So we have special flour now that we feed Reba. And it's not just flour, you also have to feed water. You gotta water it as well, but not water out of the tap. Yuck, gross. You have to get special water and then you mix it up. And I was like, this is really cool. In fact, it was on such a good feeding schedule. I think it was better than our dog's feeding schedule. I think it was... It was beautiful. I watched her do this a few times, and after she would do it, it'd be an hour or so later, and it would sit in a place of prominence in our kitchen on the counter, and I'd walk by, and it would have bubbled, and it would have grown from here to like here, and there's this bubbling, and it's almost like it was alive and burping out the top. It was so cool to watch. You know what happens if you don't feed it? It stops living. You know what happens if your wife asks you to feed it and then you say yes and then you forget to feed it? It also stops living. No amount of prayer brings back dead sourdough. I will say that. From experience, it's dead. It's gone. There's no more hope there. We have these little containers of sourdough that are now on our counter, and it's become a part of our lives, and it's so beautiful. But it teaches us something deep that I think we need to understand. I think we've seen it in other areas of our life. If you feed it, it will grow. Church, you have been feeding and pouring into the next generation here at Radiant Life. You have been investing in what is already here with the expectation that something greater is coming tomorrow and in years later. You are investing in what is to come. You are feeding it, and let me tell you what, it is growing. It is growing. I've been told don't tighten it all the way, so I'm going to put this down before I do something wrong with it. You are feeding it, and it is growing. Here's what an investment actually means. I looked this up and got a specific explanation for us. An investment is the act of allocating money, time, or resources to an asset or endeavor with the expectation that it will generate income, that it will increase in value, or will provide a profit in the future. You have been pouring into the next generation here at Radiant Life, and it is already producing a profit. We are turning over, and that is an incredible thing in the church. You can absolutely praise the Lord for that. Church, this is a celebration of what God's doing. It's a celebration of the fact that we've been faithful because God did some incredible things at NTS. And you've heard just a few of those stories. Some of those that are up here on the stage that are leading us in worship today were at NTS as well and have stories that God is doing and things that he's doing in their lives. And so I want to talk about this because you've made an investment and we're going to highlight NTS this week. But at the end of service, Pastor Pam mentioned, we're going to pray over the students or over the leaders that are going for kids camp. Kids camp comes next week. I don't know if you've not served in Next Generation Ministries in a while. The summertime is kind of like you take a big, deep breath and then you sprint all the way through until September and you just pray you make it and God somehow always does, which is amazing. But we're going to highlight both of those camps. You have been pouring into and investing in the next generation because of the hope of something coming in the future. And the great thing is God's doing it. God is doing it. So we're going to highlight David. David is an incredible leader. He was one of the greatest kings of Israel ever. And at NTS, the speakers and the services, they were all geared around his life. And the point was retelling who he was and how God used him in the future. And really, it was all about David's pursuit of God. So if you got your Bible, we'll be in 1 Samuel 16, which I've got up here on the screen for us. We'll dive in a moment. But let me give you just a quick short background. Israel wanted a human king. And so they started to cry out to God, and God's response was, I'm your king. What do you mean you want a king? I am your king. I am here. And there's a back and forth. And eventually God says, I'm going to give you what you want. You may have a king. His name was Saul. He started off on the great foot with the Lord and began to lead really well. And then he didn't. And God removed his spirit from Saul. And he said, I've chosen another. And so he goes to his prophet Samuel. And that's where we're going to pick up our story this morning. Israel has a king. His name's Saul. God's removed his spirit from him and said, I'm sending Samuel to go anoint a new king. So here's where we pick up the story. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his stature, because I have rejected him. Humans do not see what the Lord sees, for humans see what is visible, but the Lord sees the heart. Jesse called Abinadab and presented him to Samuel. The Lord hasn't chosen this one either, Samuel said. Then Jesse presented Shammah, but Samuel said, the Lord hasn't chosen this one either. After Jesse presented seven of his sons to him, Samuel told Jesse, the Lord hasn't chosen any of these. So Samuel asked, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered, but right now he's tending the sheep. Samuel told Jesse, send for him. We won't sit down to eat until he gets here. So Jesse sent for him. He had beautiful eyes and a healthy, handsome appearance. Then the Lord said, anoint him, for he is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and he anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on David from that day forward. And Samuel set out and went to Ramah. Samuel is following the Lord. When God is giving this message to Samuel saying, go and anoint the one that I will show you. Samuel has no idea what the future looks like. Samuel's responding faithfully, I will follow you, Lord. Samuel was also the one who anointed and chose Saul. God had said, I'm picking you, Samuel, and through you, I'm gonna set this kingdom going. And so Samuel had a relationship with Saul, the king that was there. He was a little bit mourning. In fact, the passages right before this let us know that Samuel was heartbroken over the fact that Saul was not gonna be the king of the future of Israel. So here goes Samuel out of reverence and response to God and his call in his life, and he goes to anoint a man. Now, I think it's very interesting that he gets a hold of this man, Jesse, and he says, God has said one of your sons will be the next king. As a father, I can't imagine hearing that message and then saying, all of my sons come in except for one. See, David was overlooked by his father. He was left out to tend the sheep. He was overlooked by his brothers. No one paused to say, wait a second, Dad, we forgot about David. He was completely overlooked. And yet it wasn't what man was looking at. It was the way that God was looking at him. He said, I'm looking at the heart of the man. So David at this point, scholars believe, was about 15 years old. He was a young man when he had this calling. So Samuel calls and Jesse comes in and he's anointed. Now picture this for just a moment. Israel has a king. Israel already has a king. And here is Samuel saying, you are going to be the next king. That's a lot of weight on a 15-year-old's shoulders. On a 15-year-old who's never been to battle. On a 15-year-old who's never run a board meeting. On a 15-year-old who's never had a political party pushing him and following him or leading him or anything. This 15-year-old boy, anointed by the horn of oil from Samuel, by the Lord, to say, you're going to be the next king of Israel. There was a lot of weight put on his shoulders. But see, Samuel was interested in long-term kingdom investment. He was thinking far more about what was to come, not what just is happening in this exact moment, but what is God going to do in the future? How is he going to bless this line? How is he going to bless the entire kingdom of Israel through this man, David, this young shepherd boy? Well, after he was anointed at 15 years old, we read in scripture and we go forward. It wasn't the next day that he was king. It wasn't in a couple weeks. It was 15 more years until he was actually enthroned as Israel's king. 15 long years where David was experiencing trials, where David was there playing the lyre, playing the harp for King Saul, who was tormented by these spirits. It was 15 years where David then had to run for fear of his life and actually be exiled from his own people out of fear for his life. David spent 15 years in preparation. There was something that God was doing to his heart, to his spirit, and he was honestly giving David what I call alligator skin. David was in for a difficulty in the kingdom, and some of that was on his own bringing, but he had to learn, how do I stand here and stand strong in the Lord? And God was doing that, and he was building that within David. It was happening. What I love about this, the English Standard Version says that verse 13 as, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. God didn't wait to put his spirit on David until he was the king officially, God's Spirit was with him from that moment. Church, the experiences that these young men and women had at NTS were moments just like this, where the Spirit broke into their lives right where they're at. Notice what God did not do. He didn't say, David, I'm gonna come back to you when you're about 30, and man, we're gonna have a great time. He didn't say, go ahead and go learn, go to your studies, go do all that stuff, and then I will come and fill you, and then we're gonna do some powerful things. The Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. Church, the investment that you have made in this next generation begins today. The title of my position is Next Generation Pastor. I'll be honest, I struggle with that a little bit because it is the next generation, but if I'm fully honest, it is the now generation. It's the generation that is pushing, that is moving forward, that is growing in their walk with Jesus. It's the generation that's already leading the church. They are leading where they work. They're leading where they play. They're living in their hobbies and their extracurriculars. They're already leading in the church. And we get a chance to come alongside and support and lift them up. Church, thank you for loving on them. Thank you for supporting them financially. Thank you more than all of that for praying for them. Thank you for being a church body who wants to come alongside and say, we believe not in just what God is doing now, but what he's also gonna do in the future. Because God's got some incredible stuff planned. And if I don't calm myself down here, my heart's gonna blow out of my chest. I'm so excited. God's doing some incredibly big things, and I'm so excited that we get to be a part of that. Samuel was interested in long-term kingdom impact and investment. And church, by the way that you have given and by the way that you have loved on these people, these young people, it's shown that you also have a long-term kingdom impact in mind. We've talked about kids or teen camp. We're also talking about kids camp. You've supported to send so many students away. How many of you are numbers people in here? Okay, I enjoy numbers. They never work out for me, but I like them. My budget is always not right, but that's all right. That's why Cheyenne does that. Let me give you a couple numbers here real quick. I did a little bit of research for this. In the last 30 years, there were three stocks that outperformed the rest of them in our American stock market, and they're listed up here. Jot notes down for a moment. Hang on. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not an investment financier. Don't take anything I say in the next couple minutes here as like gospel truth for your money until I get to the end. Then take that part serious. This part's okay. NVIDIA, 55 to 60% roughly and a yearly average return. If you put money in, you get 55 to 60% back in return. Amazon was the next best, 38 to 43 yearly average. And then there comes Apple, 36 to 41% returns. These are all really good returns. These are all excellent returns. When I first started my career path after high school, I jumped in at Vanguard. It's a trailer factory in Colon. And I was kind of in receiving. I got to drive the forklift. I don't know why they let me do that, but they did. And that was a lot of fun. But one of the things, when you sign up for paperwork, they had a 401k kind of small match there that they would sign up. And I was excited for that, thinking that's great, that's money, that's gonna be here, that's excellent. And I asked my boss about it, and he said, yeah, it's all good, but you know, it's later. If you're too worried about it or anything, you don't need to do it right now. And I had a conversation with my grandpa, and he said, no, it's long-term investment's a good idea. Because when you get to be 75, 80, maybe on retirement age, that money's gonna be there and it will have grown. And it looks like it's small down. It's a couple dollars a check. This was a long time ago, folks. I'm pretty old. This was back when, like $9 an hour. I'm that old. That little bit, those pennies every hour that were invested into that eventually would become something great larger. That way, when you need it in the future, it's there to rely on. I was starting to learn that. And so I built in that. And I have courage to say about 15 years later here, a little bit less than that, it's still growing, which is amazing, which is a beautiful thing. Now, it's not growing at that rate, but it's still growing a little bit forward. The investments that you have made in these young men and women, right now, they look small. We've heard some stories about some big investments, some big returns already that have come. We've heard some stories about that. But I want to give you some more specific numbers. Here's how many students we sponsored to go to NTS. We sent 52 kids to summer camp for teens this year. That number still boggles my mind. That's a lot of students that are going. That's a lot of sleepless nights right there. That's a ton of them. Now, let's break that down a little bit, because we invested. And in investments, there's what you call an ROI, right? A return on investment. We've given. What's God doing in that? What's the return on what we've actually given? Church, this is the biggest number of all right here. Five students. Five students accepted Jesus. That number five represents five individuals who made a decision to follow Christ for the first time. The beautiful thing about that is that five will actually look a lot larger in a few years when that five gets married or has children. and then has grandchildren, and then has great-grandchildren, and that number continues to grow. Church, that is five generational lines that have been completely changed because you were willing to invest on the front end. Beautiful, beautiful investment. Now, not only that, we had 27 students who rededicated their life to Christ there at NTS. 27 students who said, I know Jesus, I know him as Lord, I know him as Savior, but I really need to make him Lord of my life. I got to rearrange my priorities. I have to follow him better. 27 generational lines that were completely changed because of your investment on the front end. But it doesn't stop there. There were six students who were called into full-time vocational ministry. Six students. I haven't counted lately, but that's pretty much what we have on staff full-time right now. That's replication right there. My goodness. Six students who've said, yes, I felt the call from the Lord and asking me to go and do where he asked me to be and go and do and ask, following where the Lord leads. And there were six who stood up and said, I feel that call and I'm responding to that in a positive way because of your small investment on the front end. And I grouped together the last group. There were nine other commitments, which includes things like, I want to be more realistic sharing my faith in school with my friends. That would make me pretty nervous, especially as a 13, 14, 15-year-old student, knowing my friends are going to look at me a little bit different once I open my mouth and talk about Jesus. But there were some that said, I don't want to be ashamed. I want to be unashamed. Romans 1:16. I want to be unashamed of the gospel. Those other commitments include picking up my Bible between the Sundays. I want to spend more time in the Word of God because I know it heals and because I know it transforms and changes me. Those commitments include, I want to spend more time in prayer when nobody's looking. I want to do the hard work just like David had to do. The Lord's got a calling there. I want to fulfill that. And I know I can't wait until someday to spend that time with him. I got to spend the time right now. Church, your small investment is producing fruit and it's already happening. That is 47 commitments that were made that are measurable. These are things that they wrote out themselves at the end of the week. This does not count the conversations. This does not count the things that they've made with the Lord, those commitments where they didn't share with us. This is just flat the ones that were measurable. So let me give you a number. We talked about good ROIs. Here's a good ROI, 90.3% measurable. If someone says, I can give you a 90% return on your investment, take that. That's my financial advice. You're welcome. So next year when we come back saying, hey, church, guess what? Camp's coming up. You can say 90.3%. Look, God has done some incredible things. But here's the beauty. Those seeds that are planted, that are germinating, that are starting to move and starting to grow, those are going to be crazy in just a few short years. We're seeing some of the fruit of that already, but those are going to continue to grow and continue to blossom. And what we're going to see is the church continue to be in good hands as we move forward. Sometimes it's hard when we think about, man, the people coming after me, I don't know because they're not me. Are they going to be able to do it like I am? Are they going to be able to hold on to it? Are they going to be able to preach like that Ryan Bibb guy? Are they going to be able to be charismatic? Are they going to be fun? Are they going to be exciting? Are they going to be musical? Are they going to be all these wonderful things? Here's the beautiful thing about the church. It doesn't belong to you and me. It belongs to Jesus. And he has given us a beautiful, beautiful next generation, and God's going to do some incredible things through them. I am so excited. I'm so excited. So let me just highlight this. Let me just say thank you for what you've done. Three-pronged investment here. Three-pronged kingdom investment is what you have made. First of all, you've made an investment in these students personally because each of them took a step with Jesus. 52 out of 52 said they took a measurable step with Jesus. Not just a commitment. They have, in their faith walk, taken one step forward with Jesus. Church, that right there is worth it. If that was it, if that's what we got up here and said, that would absolutely be worth it. Because at such a young age, to be building a foundation that God's going to build on in the future, that right there is what it's about. We're moving forward. Now, those personal investments that you've made also mean, hey, later on, when they are older, when they are your age and my age, and they're looking back, they're going to be able to turn and then invest in the next generation that's coming up after them. I heard it put this morning. I'm gonna use it. He said, we've heard life's a race. Life is more like a relay race. We are running and we are getting ready to hand the baton off to that next generation. Church, we're doing such a good job at that. You are doing incredible. Keep going. Keep investing in them because the end line's long in the future, but the kingdom growth is happening now and we're seeing it. Now you've invested in them personally, but you've also invested in them collectively. We've heard about that. Man, and I love this quote. This caught me. The future of the church is sleeping in bunk beds this summer. You've invested not just in a personal individual people on the side, you've invested collectively in a church body. And the leadership of tomorrow is sleeping in bunk beds now. They are growing and developing now, and your investment now means that the produce on the far end is gonna be far greater because you are investing small bits now. So thank you for investing in them. And the third thing, I wanna highlight this, the third way we've invested in them is in the community. Some of these students came away saying, I need to be more impactful where I live, work, play, and learn. I need to be more of a disciple when no one else is looking. I need to open up my mouth and share Jesus with those around me, and I know I've not done a good enough job with that. Church, you've invested in them so that we have evangelism, and there are students that are called to evangelize that are already picking up the mantle and running with it. When's the last time you opened up your mouth and said the name Jesus to one of your coworkers that you know doesn't know Jesus? When's the last time we were challenged to have that conversation and we did encourage, open up? Our students are doing that. Worship team, you can come back to your spots this morning. Our students are moving. You are investing in them. They are producing. There's so much that God is doing through them. If you feed it, it will grow. If you feed it, it will grow. I wonder, we've been feeding, we've been pouring into the next generation. We're not stopping that, by the way. God's doing some incredible stuff. We're gonna continue to pour into that. But I wonder in your life what you are feeding. I wonder what are those areas that maybe we're pouring a lot into where we see God producing something beautiful. And on the other hand, I wonder where those areas are where we're pouring in and we're feeding something that really might be bringing death to us. I wonder what we're pouring into and what we're feeding that's not feeding us back. Some of the conversations that happened at camp got pretty deep pretty quick. Our students are struggling with things just like you and I would. They're wrestling, some with addictions. Some are wrestling with the fear of the unknown, with what tomorrow might bring. Some are already worried about the weight of family and the stresses that sit at home when they get back from camp. And yet that week was a way to step away from some of those stresses and have some of those deep, meaningful, impactful conversations. They're starting to take those steps with Jesus right now. The church of the future is in a healthy spot. I'm so excited for what God's gonna continue to do because conversations that need to happen are happening at 12, 13, 14, 15 years old. We're not holding these things inside until we're in our 30s and 40s and then trying to unpack a lifetime of hurts and hangups. The conversations are happening now. Church, the future of the church is so bright. Continue to feed it because it will grow. Continue to invest. Because the produce that we're seeing on the other side is far greater than the small pieces we're giving it right now. Continue to lead in. So church, thank you. Thank you for giving financially. Thank you for putting up with me up here, jabber-jobbing away. But more than anything, thank you for your prayers. Because the Sunday before we left, there were bracelets that were listed up here. And I know some of you grabbed them and each bracelet had a name of a student or a leader who was going to NTS. And I have a complete and total belief that every time you would see that name on your wrist and you would pray that that individual was going through spiritual warfare. And I fully believe that you were interceding on their behalf when you would pray for them. So above all else, thank you for your spiritual investment in the next generation because it is producing far beyond what we've put in. God is multiplying it and we're gonna celebrate that. So I'm gonna pray and then we're gonna let this next gen just lead us in worship. That sound good? Man, God is so good. Father, thank you. Lord, thank you for the idea of a kingdom investment. Thank you that you see far more long-term than we do. Thank you that in your eyes, in your mind, we are but a dot on a page. All of creation, all of time itself is so minuscule to you, and yet you still move in between it. You still find yourself here with us. You found yourself with those young students, those young men and women, and those leaders at NTS. You're gonna find yourself with those young students at kids camp next week, God, and yet you find yourself here with us in this very moment. We don't deserve it, and yet you continue to pour your blessings out. Lord, thank you for this wonderful church. For the people who have seen the importance of investing, for those who have been able to receive, not because of their own work, but because of the wealthy gift of others. The gift that's been given financially, the gift that's been given spiritually, the gift that's been given through prayer and through work. God, thank you that the future of the church is so bright. Thank you that the church is all yours, and it's such a gift to be a part of it. So God, as we worship now, may you be the one that's on display. Ultimately, this has nothing to do with us and everything to do with you. So Father, we lift you up, and Jesus, we put you on the throne, in the place of glory, in the place of honor. We love you, Jesus, and it's in your name we pray, Lord.